Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Over the last 6 weeks, we have been looking at the basic premise of Christianity as good news. And our goal has been to awaken or reawaken our appreciation for the incredible good news that we discover in the Gospels. We've learned in the course of this series that good news is news. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has broken into human history. We've learned the good news is multifaceted. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection changes that history once and for all and forever and for us. We've learned the good news unfolds over time in our lives and in our world, and it will come to fulfillment at the end of time when Christ comes again in glory as this feast of Christ the King anticipates.
Sunday, we want to look at the very heart of the good news. It comes at the cross, where Jesus hangs in what appears to be complete and utter defeat. Luke tells us, the rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Jesus is mocked by the religious rulers who envied and hated him. He's mocked by the soldiers carrying out his execution. The sign above his head is intended as further ridicule. And the mockery continues. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Even a criminal suffering a similar fate as Jesus makes fun of him. Then the whole direction of the scene changes when the good thief speaks up. Now we call him good, but there was really nothing good about his life. His crucifixion was a punishment for a life of violent crime. The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God?" This guy recognizes three important truths. First, he sees his own sinfulness. Second, he understands his need for a savior. Third, he recognizes that he is in the presence of his Savior. So as these three truths come together in his mind, he turns to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He sees that Jesus is indeed a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. And he asks to be a part of it. That's all he does. He has nothing to offer back to God. He couldn't deny his violent crimes or change the past. He simply asks to be included in Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Every breath Jesus uttered from the cross was extremely painful. But not only does Jesus answer the good thief, he promises him paradise. All the good thief had to do was ask Jesus to remember him. And the good news is that it's a promise that is extended to every single person.
Jesus shows through the cross and the resurrection that the power behind the universe is not a brutal or even random force, but a loving one. A God who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for us. A love so powerful that it could overcome that death. A love so powerful, it can even overcome our faults and failures. At its heart, the good news says we are loved. We are loved beyond our faults and failures. We're loved beyond our imagination. The good news says that God loves us so much that incredibly, unbelievably, he invites us to partner with him in the renewal and transformation of creation. You know, spending these past 6 weeks on the good news of the gospel, I feel like we've only just begun to scratch the surface of this subject. And I got to admit that I also felt utterly inadequate before this task, because the good news is so good, it's so astonishing and incredible that surely God could have found a better spokesman for it. But I also realize the good news is so good, it can't be communicated by a single person or even a single message series. It requires a community of people, a community of people who are living the good news, or at least trying their very best to do so, and thereby making it convincing out in the world.
We are that community. It is an incredible privilege and honor that God places this message in our hands and asks us to share it with the world. It is a message and a mission that deserves an investment in one way or another of the whole of our lives. But on this stewardship weekend, we invite your financial investment.
The commitment we ask is simple. One, make giving a priority. Make giving here in your place of worship as an act of worship a priority. And the very best way to make it a priority is to make it automatic, to give electronically. That's the way Tom and I give to the parish, and we invite you to join us in automatic worship offering.
Second, pick a percentage of your income to give away. The scripture talks about the tithe, or giving away 10% of our income. We know this can sound overwhelming, so we encourage you to simply pick any percentage. Start at any percent. Start at 1%, if that's the step you are ready to take. Followers of Jesus give a percentage because they trust Jesus' words about giving, that giving from our substance moves our hearts in God's direction.
Third, progress in giving. Since giving moves our heart in God's direction, obviously, we want to progress, to move, to grow when it comes to the amount that we're giving. Besides, the church itself grows in health and strength when the giving of our members grows. As giving progresses, we simply have more resources to do what we do, to bring more people into a loving relationship with the living Lord.
Your giving will help us to continue to spread the good news so we can pass on our faith through kids and student programs, expand our small groups and member care, grow our member ministry, invest in next generation technology, reach more unchurched people in the community, build our online campus, rebuild other parishes. It's an important investment. In fact, the most important investment of all. Take a look.
The mission of the church is to share the good news of God's love with the world. Some 2,000 years after Jesus' saving work on the cross, his church in Timonium is called to carry out the very same mission with the same level of commitment and passion. Church of the Nativity is dedicated to spreading the gospel to God's children in our generation and in a culture that is starved for good news. We are messengers of God's love for the world, and Nativity is working hard to share it each week with children and teenagers in our community. Our small group network is designed to encourage our community members in faith growth and outreach. Our missionaries spread God's goodness to our city and our world. Our weekend experience is staffed with incredible ministry teams, all serving to connect newcomers to Christ Church. And Nativity's impact spans far beyond 21093. Through our online campus and rebuilt ministry as well. The good news of the gospel has the power to change lives. We are constantly receiving letters from people whose lives have been impacted by Nativity.
Matt writes, "Dear Nativity, I just want to thank you for the difference you have made in me. My faith used to be a small part of my life, but serving as a children's minister has changed that. Sharing God's word each week with the children in my group has made me bolder in my faith. Now I can speak to others outside of church about God's word and his love. Just last week, I was able to help someone who was going through a difficult time by quoting scripture and telling them of God's love for them. I never, ever would have been able to do this without Nativity. I now feel prepared and equipped to spread the good news. Thank you."
Dave writes, "Dear Nativity, to be perfectly honest, I've always found the gospel to be challenging to understand. I often felt inept, which led to a long absence from church. All that has changed since I stepped foot in Nativity. I have an aha moment virtually every week when I'm listening to the message. My favorite words from Father Michael are, 'So what does that mean?' The great news of the gospel is shared in a way that I can relate to, retain, and grow from. Please know how grateful I am to be a minister and a parishioner of this awesome church. Thank you."
Francesca writes, "Dear Nativity, I've heard the phrase good news my entire life, but it has never sunk in until this latest series. Although I have huge gaps and shortfalls, I've been able to change my thinking when I feel like I'm falling short. Instead of, what's wrong with me? Why can't I stop doing that? I've started thinking, good news. Jesus loves me, and I have God the Father who will always welcome me with open arms. My relationship with God is changing from a guilt-based relationship to more of a drowning in God's reckless love type of relationship."
Thanks to your stewardship of our mission, Nativity will continue to reach more and more people, confident that God still has work to do here in Timonium and beyond. In fact, we believe we're just getting started in fulfilling the ministry the Lord has prepared for us. Thank you for your commitment to share the best news ever with our community that we love so much and with our world that desperately needs it.
Father Benoit writes, "Dear Nativity, I'm a priest in Montreal, Canada, and a huge fan of Nativity. In 2015, I was transferred to lead a group of struggling parishes. However, after only 1 year, I had to step down due to physical and emotional burnout. It took me over a year to recover, and the toughest part of the recovery process was not having a church family on Sundays. I was alone and struggling. Thank God I had a virtual church family, Nativity's online campus. While I was drowning in sorrow, these broadcasts filled me with hope. Some weekends, I would watch every broadcast on Sunday. You were my family, you were there for me, and you surely saved a vocation. Recently, I started work again at a parish. Each week, I translate messages from Nativity into French. I have never seen something get such a great response. We are launching small groups for Advent. We're growing, we're changing, we're trying. Thank you for helping me understand that I am worthy of the best family on earth."
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.